straight by him, he wouldn't have seen me, and I could have made certain by stepping 2 feet off the pavement. But I said, "Henry, you're almost a stranger," and saw his eyes light up as though we were old friends. "Bendrix," he said, with affection. And yet the world would have said he had the reasons for hate, not me. "What are you up to, Henry, in the rain?" There are men whom one has an irresistible desire to tease, men whose virtues one doesn't share. He said evasively, "Oh, I wanted a bit of air." And during a sudden blast of wind and rain, he just caught his hat in time from being whirled away towards the north side. "How's Sarah?" I asked, because it might have seemed odd if I hadn't. Though nothing would have delighted me more than to have heard that she was sick, unhappy, dying. I imagined in those days that any suffering she underwent would lighten mine, and if she were dead, I could be free. I would no longer imagine all the things one does imagine under my ignoble circumstances. I could even like poor silly Henry, I thought, if Sarah were dead. He said, "Oh, she's out for the evening somewhere," and set that devil in my mind at work again, remembering other days when Henry must have replied just like that to other inquirers, where I alone knew where Sarah was. "A drink?" I asked, and to my surprise he put himself in step beside me. We had never before drunk together outside his home. "It's a long time since we've seen you, Bendrix." For some reason, I am a man known by his surname. I might never have been christened for all the use my friends make of the rather affected Morris my literary parents gave me. "A long time." "Why, it must be more than a year." "June 1944, I said. "As long as that, well, well." The fool, I thought, the fool to see nothing strange in a year and a half's interval. Less than 500 yards of flat grass separated our two sides. Had it never occurred to him to say to Sarah, "How's Bendrix doing? What about asking Bendrix in?" And hadn't her replies ever seemed to him odd, evasive, suspicious? I had fallen out of their sight as completely as a stone in a pond. I suppose the ripples may have disturbed Sarah for a week, a month. But Henry's blinkers were firmly tied. I had hated his blinkers, even when I had benefited from them, knowing that others could benefit too. "Is she at the cinema?" I asked. "Oh, no, she hardly ever goes." "She used to." The Pontefract Arms were still decorated for Christmas, with paper streamers and paper bells, the relics of commercial gaiety, mauve and orange, and the young landlady leant her breasts against the bar with a look of contempt for her customers. "Pretty," Henry said, without meaning it, and stared around with a certain lost air, a shyness for somewhere to hang his hat. I got the impression that the nearest he had ever before been to a public bar was the Chop House off Northumberland Avenue, where he ate lunch with his colleagues from the ministry. "What will you have?" "I wouldn't mind a whiskey." "Nor would I, but you'll have to make do with rum." We sat at a table and fingered our glasses. I had never had much to say to Henry. I doubt whether I should ever have troubled to know Henry or Sarah well if I had not begun in 1939 to write a story with a senior civil servant as the main character. Henry James once, in a discussion with Walter Besant, said that a young woman with sufficient talent need only pass the messroom windows of a guard's barracks and look inside in order to write a novel about the brigade. But I think at some stage of her book she would have found it necessary to go to bed with a guardsman, if only in order to check on the details. I didn't exactly go to bed with Henry, but I did the next best thing, and the first night I took Sarah out to dinner, I had the cold-blooded intention of picking the brain of a civil servant's wife. She didn't know what I was at. She thought, I'm sure, I was genuinely interested in her family life, and perhaps that first awakened her liking for me. "What time did Henry have breakfast?" I asked her. "Did he go to the office by tube, bus, or taxi? Did he bring his work home at night? Did he have a briefcase with the Royal Arms on it?" Our friendship blossomed under my interest. She was so pleased that anybody should take Henry seriously. Henry was important, but important rather as an elephant is important from the size of his department. There are some kinds of importance that remain hopelessly damned to unseriousness. Henry was an important